Pathway to Promise podcast, episode number 9, Making a Bargain and Keeping Your Promises, with Carol Sanek from Butterfly Boom Productions and the Crazy Marketing Ladies podcast.
Hi, this is Frank Viola from the Beyond Evangelical blog and author of From Eternity to Here. And you're listening to the Pathway to Promise podcast with Dr. Brad Miller.
Several people have reached out to me who tried to commit suicide and it didn't work, thankfully, and they're still alive and they're going to tell their stories.
You're on the Pathway to Promise with Dr. Brad Miller. Brad believes every person has a God-given promised life of peace, prosperity, and purpose, and that you must have a plan and a guide to get there. The Pathway to Promise podcast not only is your guide through the wilderness of depression and disappointment that stand between you and your promised life, but also brings you insights and direction from inspiring, successful thought leaders who have transformed their lives. Welcome to the Pathway to Promise. Now, here's Brad.
Well, hello, good people, and welcome to episode number 9 of the Pathway to Promise podcast with Dr. Brad Miller. That is I. So glad, so pleased, so excited and enthused that you are here to be with me and join with us on our Pathway to Promise podcast today. We're all about here, about you, about helping you find a navigation through adversity in your life, find a way to get through it, and to give you the tools and the resources in order to help you to do that. Our mission is the understanding that every person has a promised life of peace and prosperity and purpose. And in order to get to that place, you have to follow a plan, a pathway, if you will, and you join up and coordinate with people in your life, guides in your life, who can help you overcome life's challenges, those adversities, and achieve your promised life. So we're part of your antidote to adversity in your life and help you find your pathway, because we all got things to deal with, don't we? We all have things to deal with that are depressing, or maybe we've been in debt or divorce or something bad has happened to us. And to find a pathway through it makes all the difference in the world. So I'm a pastor of a church, and I've also have a doctoral degree in transformational leadership, and I've read a lot of books and done a lot of study and worked with a lot of people in this area. And I just know that we can talk and some good things can happen. And we're so glad that you're with us here today on the Pathway to Promise podcast. And today we're going to be dealing with and talking to someone who has had her share of challenges and adversities in her life. She made a bargain, made a grand bargain, and then had to pay off her bargain. And we're going to talk a lot about that here today. Her name is Carol Sanek. And Carol Sanek comes from, she has her own podcast now called the Crazy Marketing Ladies Podcast, and her own social media consulting firm. And she does writing and consulting. And she's a ghostwriter, and she has a fascinating new project that she's working on that we're going to talk about here today. But in her life, she has had her share of difficulties and tragedies, and including in her health, dealing with the tragedy of cancer, of breast cancer in her life, and how when she's coming from a background in the medical field herself as a nurse, there were some certain particular challenges that she had to deal with and to overcome that and to deal with that in her life. And we're going to talk about that and how she got through it, how she got through some really tough times and came through into a good place now. But it wasn't without its challenges, wasn't without some really difficult things to overcome. So today we're going to talk about health and the integration of your physical health, dealing with cancer, and how that integrates with your spiritual life, and how that integrates with your relationships that you have, how it integrates with making connections with the resource people that can help you get through things. And Carol's going to tell us about her pathway that she got through and how she made a grand bargain, and then she had to pay off that bargain, and how she's paying it off now. It's just a really awesome, awesome way. She's got a great story to tell, and we're going to get into that in just a minute. Our purpose here, as we've said, is to help you navigate adversity in your life. And we do that by helping focus on four things: taking bold actions in your life, connecting up with a power greater than yourself, being fueled by our personal relationships, and then living a life of self-discipline. In our first five episodes of the Pathway to Promise podcast, we unpack those in some detail, and I would invite you to go there to see our backlog, our catalog of Pathway to Promise podcast, which you can find at pathwaypromise.com. We invite you to go there and check those out, along with the other resources we have there, which includes a resource, a gift that we have for you, which is called the How to Frame Your Day for Success. It's just a short guide about how to start and end your day successfully in just 4 minutes a day. It's a free gift for you. We invite you to go over to pathwaypromise.com, where we have those resources for you. If you like what you're hearing here on the Pathway to Promise podcast, please, would you be so kind as to go to whatever platform you're listening to us today and subscribe, and then rate us 5 stars, if you will. That would be great. And leave us a review and pass on the news about our podcast to other folks who you think this might be helpful to. Again, my name is Brad Miller, Dr. Brad Miller. Glad to be with you. And today we are talking with Carol Sanek, who has the Crazy Marketing Ladies podcast and a great story to tell about overcoming the challenge of breast cancer and succeeding in her life. So let's get into that interview with Carol right now. Today, we're talking with Carol Sanek, who is the chief expressive creator of her company, which does a lot of things with social media. And she is also one of the people involved with the Crazy Marketing Ladies show. Carol, welcome to the Pathway to Promise podcast.
Thank you, Brad. I'm excited to be here.
Excellent. Excellent. Carol, you have a fascinating story in many ways, and among the cool things about you is that you are an Ohio State Buckeye fan, which I will forgive you for being an Indiana Hoosier fan, but I will just have to forgive you for that.
Don't get me started.
All right. Well, very good. Well, Carol, part of your fascinating story is that you have overcome some obstacles in your life, and you now have a successful life going for you. Just tell us a little bit about what you're doing now in your life and how you got there, and maybe some of the things you've had to face to get there.
I started out many moons ago as a nurse, as an RN, and I worked for many years in the field of nursing or medicine, many different areas of it, mostly oncology. So when I came across my own diagnosis that we're going to talk about, it was time for me to leave, because it was a very difficult time in my life to stay working in a field where I was now the patient. So from that point on, I did other things. I moved into different kinds of medicine. I was in pharmaceuticals. I was in wound care. I was in capital equipment. Anything but the hospital, because of the fact that there were just too many memories there. And I would walk in the door of a hospital that I had once been a patient at, and it was just, almost to the point of still making me a little ill at my stomach. So I found it was a lot better to be outside those doors, helping people.
Is it true what I've experienced sometimes that people in the medical profession, nurses, doctors, are sometimes the worst patients? Was that the case for you?
Well, we know a lot.
Yeah.
And in knowing a lot, we question a lot. We also refuse more probably than a lot of people do, because we know a lot and we'll say no to certain things very, very quickly if we don't agree. So I left nursing and medicine, and I had a lot of fun playing in sales for a while. I was in real estate, and I met my husband, and I married him up there in Indiana, where you were where you're living. Very only good. I was up in Munster, up in the, you know, outside Chicago. And eventually we came to Florida. And at that time, I started writing, I started blogging, and I have never stopped. And that's what I do for a living now. I write. Most of the time, I'm ghostwriting for other people. I write for myself. I'm working on a book. I love to write.
Well, that's great. That's exciting in and of itself. And you, I know you do some consulting in social media, and you have a podcast of your own, which that you talk about marketing with crazy ladies, I guess. And then you've got some other plans as well. But I'm interested in, you mentioned about how you have faced some real medical challenges in your life. And can you just say a little bit more about that and where you were mentally and emotionally, kind of when you found out about your diagnosis, and where you're at now, mentally, emotionally?
When I was diagnosed with breast cancer, I was in a job where I traveled the country for a large hospital corporation, and I was out of town. And back then, we didn't have cell phones. This was 24 plus years ago. Didn't have cell phones. Didn't really have email at that time either. So I called home to catch my messages on my voicemail, and there was my doctor's voice saying, there's a suspicious area on a mammogram and we need you to see a surgeon as soon as possible. I was devastated. I was hysterical. I'm out of town. There's nobody I know, around me or with me. So yeah, I came apart. I did come apart.
No support whatsoever at that, just at that particular moment.
No support at all, period. I was single and alone at the time.
Alone, single, and traveling, and get the word that you have breast cancer.
Wow. Well, I got the word that it was suspicious.
Oh, suspicious, but right. Eventually you got that word, and then you've had to face that. What were some of the obstacles that you've had to face to deal with that as you've made your way through the last 24 years?
Sadly enough, I was promoted like maybe 3 to 4 weeks prior to having to ask for time off for my diagnosis. And when I came back to work, they took my promotion away from me.
Oh, man.
that was a rough one.
That's a stick.
Uh-huh. And I found out that actually that's not legal. So I ended up having to hire an attorney who works, on and with ADA laws.
Yeah.
And we won our case. We did win our case. And really sadly, so here I am healing, after coming through this, healing physically and healing emotionally. And they demote me, take my job away from me and put me back in the trenches, so to speak. Mm-hmm. I'd been promoted to being a manager. I wouldn't have had to travel as much. So there I was, dealing with all this stress, which I didn't need at the time in my life. And I came to find out that my immediate supervisor, who had pushed for the demotion, also was a breast cancer
survivor. Wow.
Yeah. So that one was like blindsiding.
Yeah. So you just, kind of wonder what's going on there, don't you? At least I would.
What was she thinking?
Yeah. What are you thinking? What's going on there? And then you also had the drama, whatever it was, of the legal process. I'm sure that's... you throw that into the mix too,
Right, because now they're not allowed by law to harass you or make things difficult for you, but they did. They did. So my life was a living, while I was going through this, because nobody was very nice to me.
Hmm. Wow. And that can scar people. People often make a decision at that point. Some people kind of throw up their hands and give up, and other people... fight back and fight through it. It sounds like maybe you're one of the latter. You're one of the people who's fought through it.
I had no choice.
Yeah. What were some of the specific actions that you took to care for yourself? What were some of the bold things that you did that helped you get through not only that time, but help you persevere and to have some success in your life?
Well, one of the fortuitous things that happened to me was right after my diagnosis and while I was waiting to have surgery and then move on to radiation therapy, I happened to travel to a hospital, and in their bookstore, they had a book, and I tried really hard to find the name of this book because I loaned it out and never got it back. But it was written by a surgeon and a theologian. And it was a book about why did God allow me to have cancer, or did, you know, medicine allow me to have cancer? You know,
right.
I mean, it was the two of them kind of face to face heading. And it was a wonderful book. It mm-hmm. really helped me so much because you understand the scientific reasons you get cancer and you understand the theological reasons,
uh-huh.
you know, and it was, it took me, oh, about a week to read it. And when I was done reading it, I contacted our local Episcopalian church in Richmond, Virginia, where I was living at the time. And I asked to speak to the priest there. And I had a nice sit down talk with him about his feelings on things. I had nobody else. And if you remember,
sure.
I was living by, you know, I'm living by myself. My family's in Cleveland, Ohio. You know, all my friends are basically in Cleveland or Chicago, where I had both lived, you know, lived for long periods of time. And now I'm living alone in Richmond, Virginia. So I made the phone call, I made the appointment. I went to see him. And of course, you know what happens. You bargain with God. You know, absolutely.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
And he came right out and he asked me, he said, well, what would you ask God for if, you know, you would never, ever have to face the words you have breast cancer again? And I said, okay. I said, this is what I would do with my medical background and with the fact that I do like to be among people and I do like to counsel people and I do like to be an uplifting person in people's lives. I said, if I will go out and I will deal with other people who are diagnosed. I will help them. You know, I will help them through it. I will be their advocate. I will go to the doctors with them. I will do whatever it takes. I will be their number one supporter in life if God takes this breast cancer away.
Yes.
So I bargained. And guess what happened?
Well, tell me. I could guess, but you tell me anyhow.
Within about 6 months, I moved. I moved to Florida. Still on the same job. Still in the lawsuit. And I moved to Florida and went to the new church. I moved to St. George Island, and the church on the island was United Church of Christ. And I went there and I met people and I was invited to dinner and I told my story. And the next thing I know, the hostess is taking me into her house, you know, the rest of her house to show it to me. And then she asks me to look at something and she proceeds to show me an outward growing tumor on her breast.
Oh my God.
And said to me, I know, and said to me, this is brand new. This just showed up in the past week. And I wanted to ask her who she thought she was kidding, because there's no way that that just showed up within the past week. To this day, to the best of my knowledge, she's still with us. I don't, through the grace of God, she's still alive.
So she was asking you to basically make a on the spot kind of a
diagnosis
yeah. or assessment.
Right. Know? And I'm going, you know, there I was. So what was I doing now? Taking her to chemo, taking her to radiation,
okay.
you know. And not only that, but the nearest hospital to, well, let me rephrase that. The nearest really good surgical hospital is in Tallahassee, 80 miles away.
Okay. Wow. So yeah. you became, after being alone and all the things you were going through before, now you're intimately involved with this one woman and some others as well, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah. I started a support group. I ended up being interviewed on a PBS special on breast reconstruction. I mean, it led me to a lot of different things, mm-hmm. but I didn't think I was ready yet to be the nurse again.
Mm-hmm.
I was still recovering. But, you know, God works in funny ways.
Absolutely.
And I think he knew that I was really ready to be the nurse. That's my calling. That's my vocation. I'm still a caretaker.
So you found a calling then. How would you say that this connection, you said you feel like you know, God has a calling on you in this area, and certainly is a big transition from your diagnosis and being kind of alone and devastated. Tell me a little bit about how any reliance on a power greater than yourself, how reliance on God helps you in your process of advancing, making your transformation your life.
Well, at that point, since I had to pay up, yeah, you know, my bargain.
Yes, of course.
And do you think I didn't curse? Of course I cursed. You
know, why this? Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Why me?
And I said, okay, if this is what you want me to do, then it's time for me to really explore places I can go with this. So the next thing I did was I moved to Costa Rica.
Okay.
And I worked there. I had done my research. By this time, the lawsuit was over, and I had left my job, obviously. It was they had to keep me on, but I wasn't going to stay on. Mm-hmm. So I moved on to living in Costa Rica. I had enough money set aside where I could live in Costa Rica. And I worked with a plastic surgeon there that does breast reconstruction, and he and I would travel around the country talking to women, bringing them into San Jose, which is the capital, for surgery, for treatment, you know, for whatever they needed. And I did that for about 6 months. It was just so wonderful. It really was.
Wow.
To be able to help people like that before I came back to the States and started my career again, because, you know, money does have a way of running out.
Well, you do have to. There is that, right? There is that thing about the money thing. And
right.
But it sounded like you had a fascinating experience and you felt very, very worthwhile, very much involved and engaged when you were in Costa Rica.
Exactly. I got to teach women how to do self-breast exam and what to look for and, you know, and how to make sure that they got their mammograms. I mean, I even went ahead and had a mammogram done there. I wasn't afraid to go to a second country, so to speak. If it's not a third world country, Costa Rica is a second world country.
Right.
But I wasn't afraid to go there and have my checkup and my mammogram done the year after my breast cancer. It didn't bother me at all. I felt, you know, I had already done the bargain. I had paid the bargain. I paid it for, and I'm paying it forward. So it's not going to, nobody's going to find anything, you know.
Okay, great, great. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I'll be in that part of the world this next month, generally. My son and I are going to El Salvador on a medical mission. We are not medical people ourselves, but we're supporting some doctors and dentists and so on who are doing a mission in that part of the world. So I have a heart for that part of the world. So excellent. Tell me about, Carol, tell me about, you've mentioned a little bit here, but tell me about important relationships in your life and maybe how you mentioned being alone a few minutes ago and how that was so devastating and how that was so, you know, just crushed you in a way. But now you've mentioned a couple times some people have come into your life and you've reached out yourself to some people. Tell me about emotional relationships or connections that you've made that have helped you during this process.
Well, let's backtrack for a little bit here, because I definitely was married at one time.
Okay.
And I had three children and they were grown. They were grown by the time I was diagnosed. And they were out of the house and I had moved on with my career. They had their own lives, you know, this kind of thing. But during the time that they were growing up, one of my oncologists actually asked me this question. He said, did you have a lot of stress? You know, think back 9 years. He said, I think your cancer is about 9 years old. Think back about 9 years and tell me what was going on in your life. And it was during a very bad divorce and a child who was actually very close to being incarcerated. For emotional problems. He ended up in a psych hospital and he ended up having a lot of emotional issues himself. And it just, he caused me, the two of them, between the husband and the son, caused me a lot of strife and stress in my life.
Of course.
So, because I couldn't fix it. I couldn't fix my son. I couldn't fix him. So, you know, and you try. You try everything you can do. And, you know, I wasn't obviously taking care of myself. A lot of people really do believe that, well, stress is the number one reason we go to the doctor, and that stress can cause cancer, heart attacks, obviously, you know, different things like that. So I felt that probably, you know, this little tumor of mine had been growing for 9 years, you know, back when I was married, back when I was raising children. It was almost a relief to me to be single again.
Until then
it zapped me that I had a diagnosis of breast cancer, and I said, oh my God, you know, here I go again, now I'm alone. But you know what, in a way, it was almost better facing it alone. I had support groups that I belonged to, you know, in Richmond, but I didn't have anybody else I could really rely on. So I had to make the decisions myself.
You had to reach out yourself then.
I did.
And
you know what's good about that? I'll tell you what's really good about that. Nobody could tell me I was wrong.
Okay.
Nobody could say, oh, no, don't do that.
Which is part of your stressors from your prior relationships.
Sure.
Okay.
Because one of the things that I have a friend who's a breast surgeon in Pennsylvania, and one of the things that Beth told me was that as soon as you're diagnosed and you start telling people what decisions you've made, they become doctors. and they start telling you everything you should or shouldn't do.
Oh boy.
And she tells all her patients that when people start to do that, you're to put them in a bubble and float them out of your life, because that's the last thing you need. So in my case, it just so happened that I did that, but I hadn't met Beth yet, and I didn't know that that's how her belief, you know, runs in her medical practice. But it really works to only have yourself to rely on at times. At times. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't advocate it for everybody.
Right. Cool. Well, but it sounds like you've had important people there who've given you guidance, and others maybe stressed you out, but you've had some people giving you some guidance, and you also made the point of reaching out and making those connections.
Right.
And that's
right. You know, when I was diagnosed, the day that I got the phone call telling me that the biopsy was positive, I didn't barely remember any phone call. Of course, who does?
Mm-hmm.
But I was looking at my watch. It was like 4:30 in the afternoon, of course, on a Friday, and it was at Sam Hill. You get help at 4:30 in the afternoon on a Friday. No internet. Remember, there was no internet yet.
Sure.
So I picked up the phone and I called City of Hope, doctors that I knew in City of Hope in Los Angeles.
Okay.
Because I had once worked with them in my job, when I had a 1-year wonderful job with University of Illinois, where I was their clinical application specialist in a pre-market approval for an FDA device in cancer, treating cancer. So I had traveled to City of Hope a lot.
Okay.
And I called them. They called my surgeon. They got what was wrong with me. They called me back, and they really put me at ease. So, yes, I had the medical community to rely on, and it's so important to have somebody like that, because when you're out there and you're hearing, you know, oh, my gosh. You know, that's why I became an advocate down the road. You know?
Yeah. Was there somewhere along the way, Carol, where you just had an aha moment, that you kind of had a realization or a moment when you said, okay, one way or another, this is going to be okay. Then one way or another, I'm going to get through this.
You know, you count those years, you know, 5th year anniversary, because at 5 years, they say, if you're at 5 years, you have this much chance, yada, 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 and all those dumb statistics. I always told my doctors, I have a 0 to 100%. There's nothing in between. Either it's 100%, it's going to come back, or 0%. I said, so I don't like statistics. And I think it was maybe after my 5th year, at that point in time is when I met my now husband, my wonderful husband, Larry. And he was such a, he's just such an amazing person in my life, that my focus was on him and it wasn't on me anymore. My focus was on us. I'll say that reword, that my focus was on us and getting married and starting a life together. And one day I realized I hadn't thought about having breast cancer for quite a while.
Wow.
I hadn't. And that meant I was emotionally healed. You know, even though there's always reminders, you know, you have October, you have pink ribbon month, you have walks and races and, you know, I mean, there's pink ribbons everywhere you look, but still, I didn't put it on me. It wasn't my breast cancer any longer. You know, and that's when I realized, you know what, I've got this.
Sally, you found some peace.
Mm-hmm.
Peace of mind, and found a good place to be. And that good place to be when you're there is a place where, if you have stress in your life, you know, what you had before, at least now you have some tools to handle it better. You have some experience to deal with it better. And that sounds like you're in that place now of a place of peace. And that's great.
Most of the time.
Yeah. Well, of course, life happens, doesn't it? Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Carol, what are some of the things that you do now, some of the disciplines or some of the habits or activities that you do to help you sustain this?
Number one, this is Heart Month for women, you know. And today I heard a TV interview with a doctor who said, you know, women are afraid to go to the doctor if they are overweight, because they're afraid that the doctors are going to scold them. So they might have symptoms, not just of heart. It could be symptoms. You could find a lump and you're afraid to go because you're overweight and you think you're going to be scolded. You know what? That's just a crock in good plain English.
Yeah.
Women have to stop thinking that way. You know,
body shaming takes place at all kinds of levels, doesn't it? It's not just teenage girls or whatever, but in this kind of situation, even the denial of your medical situation.
You can't take a long time to make a decision. Each time that I have, and I have had subsequent biopsies, I've had subsequent scares, but each time, you know, I was told, 3 months, Carol, 3 months is all we're going to give you. You got to come back. You have to make a decision. 3 months. But you know what? It was always okay. At 3 months, nothing had changed. Everything was fine. You know, you can't sit there and hope that tomorrow it's going to be gone. You have to find out, because once you find out, you are in control. It's no longer controlling you. You're in control of what you're going to do next.
So what are some of the ways that you take control?
Well, one of the ways I take control is, yeah, I could lose 20 pounds myself, but it doesn't stop me from going to the doctor. Yeah. I understand how important it is to go to the doctor. Right. I understand how important it is to get my annual mammogram, how important it is to do self-checks monthly. You know, so I do all these things. I don't eat a lot of foods that I know can be cancer-provoking foods. You know, I stick to making my own, a lot of my own foods. Do I cheat? Oh, heck yeah, I cheat. I love fried green beans at, you know, sure, at a certain restaurant. And I'll go and I'll eat my fried green beans once a month. But, you know, you just have to really take a look at what you're doing. And I always tell people, don't give it all up. But, you know, there's a balance. And, yeah, go ahead and cheat. You know, it's not going to hurt you to cheat now and then. But you can't do it daily. You know, you have to take better care. We only have one life. We're only going to go around this, you know, the world one time. You know, you got to take care of yourself.
You just got one body. That's right.
Exactly. That's a lot of things that might, you know, might be replaceable. You don't want replaceable parts, because once they're replaced, your life is different, completely different. It's never the same.
Yeah. Once, now you know more about this than I do, but my experience being around a lot of people who have had lots of surgeries and knee replacements, all kinds of things, once somebody cuts into you and takes something out or moves stuff around, most folks are changed. You know, they have a long recovery. Is that your observation experience?
I'm going to be just the opposite.
Okay.
Here.
All right.
I heal really fast.
All right. Good.
Really fast. I got stressed last year because that wonderful man I'm married to had heart issues that led up to him having a double bypass. And during the period that he was going through everything, my stress levels obviously were, you know, at full throttle, and I got shingles.
Oh, my goodness.
I got shingles on my face. Right?
Oh, wow.
These little suckers started popping out. I had seven of them, seven little red blotches. I knew exactly what they were. I got to an urgent care immediately. I got on an antiviral, and I prayed a lot. And you know what? I went to the dermatologist. This was over a weekend. I went to my dermatologist on Tuesday, and she looked at me, and she said, "Do you know how lucky you are?" I said, "Why?" She says, "They're not going to, no more, you're not going to have them anymore. They're going away already."
Hmm.
I don't know why. I never got full-blown shingles. I had one went into a blister stage, and yeah, they hurt. They do hurt.
Sure.
One went into a blister stage, but it was like, boom, gone. You know, last week when you asked me about, you followed up on how come I hadn't answered you, and I said, well, I had oral surgery. Same thing. I went through oral surgery. Of course, I had a tooth extracted. I got a dry socket. It's supposed to last 7 to 10 days. They warned me I was going to be in excruciating pain. 2 days later, I was fine.
Yeah.
I have phenomenal healing, and I don't know why. Maybe it's because I believe so deeply that I can't. Healing comes from within.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It comes from belief in God, asking Him to help heal you, and believing that it will happen. Faith is very important.
Sure.
The word hope does not exist in my life, Brad. It doesn't. I don't hope for things. I have faith things will happen.
Faith and belief, yeah.
There's a difference in faith and in hope.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, hope is what people kind of look for in a sense of out there, but belief is the knowledge and the understanding that you're on the way. You're on the pathway mm-hmm. here, and it is a process, of course. It is a painful process at times, but you have a belief that you have a destination. And it's what I like to call your promised life, you know, where you want to be, that place where you have a sense of purpose and sense of place, and you got peace in your life, and that's a great thing. It sounds like you're in a pretty good place right now. Would you say that's the case?
Yeah, because God's not done with me yet.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, that's what I believe. I believe, you know, that I'm still here kicking, you know, at my age, I'm so old. At my age, I'm still here kicking, and I'm in really good health, and, you know. There's a reason. There's an absolute reason.
That's great. Well, it sounds like a part of it also is what you do to be helpful to others. Share a little bit with us now what you mentioned earlier, some of the writing that you do. Can you be a little more specific what you do in terms of how you're being helpful to others in their business or their book writing, or what are some things that you do to live out your destiny?
Okay. I have a blog called I Survived. I'm going to say darn, but it's not darn. Got it, Brad. I survived damn near everything.
Yeah, okay.
And in that blog, I have categories about surviving all different kinds of things in life. You know? But one of them is my breast cancer and writing about breast cancer. And I have won 3 blogging awards from different health institutions, you know, 3 awards for having top blogs. I enjoy writing to inspire, but I'm also sarcastic and humorous.
Okay.
I don't believe in being dry and boring. Obviously, that's not the way my life has ever played out. But that's what I like doing. But I'm going to turn this a whole 180 on you here and surprise you with something. I am writing a book, and the book is about suicide.
Okay.
And I know that that's a tough topic, but the reason I'm writing the book is that eventually my children's father took his own life that way. And the name of my book is called Suicide Elegy, and I'm going to be writing with other people. You know, every chapter is going to be somebody else's experience, because suicide is not addressed as it should be in this world. It's like people don't want to talk about it. They don't want to hear about it. And then when it happens to them, they don't know what to do. So,
it's incredibly much more prevalent than a lot of people appreciate.
Mm-hmm. And I'm ready to do it. You know, I just wasn't ready to do it before. It's a very painful part of my past because my children all took different attitudes towards it. Mm-hmm. And some of them don't talk to each other. I mean, it was a real mess. Doing something like that can destroy a family. Well, it does destroy families. So I'm going to use my voice to talk about it. I'm going to talk about several people who have reached out to me who tried to commit suicide and it didn't work, thankfully, and they're still alive and they're going to tell their stories. Wow. I have a Catholic priest coming on and he's going to talk about how the Catholic Church feels about it now,
mm-hmm.
because they definitely have changed their position on it. You know, you couldn't be buried in the cemetery if you took your life.
Wow.
Now you can. You know, so, I mean, I think there's a lot of help that we can give people, and that's what I'm on this earth for. I'm still out here to help others.
So. Well, my observation, having dealt with that in my ministry a couple times, it's an underserved area, and there's a level of deep devastation and depression and everything else, all kinds of levels of stuff that goes on in the families, and that just hasn't been addressed adequately, and especially for those who are contemplating that. So
and we have the opioid crisis, and we have veterans, and you know, there's so much going on, but those are the ones that make the news.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that the statistics are going up with those who are drug dependent and those who come out of the war and come out of the service to the country. But what about the girl next door who just, for some reason, you know, EMT's there the next morning and you realize she took her life and you had no idea. You know, she was just your neighbor.
Yeah.
And it happens everywhere.
And sometimes it's those unknown things, like those mysterious one-car accidents, you know, that one-person accident is what I'm trying to say, where people – I think about that because I had a person try to basically attempt suicide by driving 100 miles an hour into my pastor for church, into my church building. They were trying to take their life, and, you know, you don't know what's going on there. So, what's the name of your book against – Say it again.
Suicide Elegy.
Suicide Elegy.
Yeah, E-L-E-G-Y, you know, because an elegy is a poem to darkness.
All right.
You know, okay. to more like a song. An elegy is kind of like a song of sorts.
Yeah.
And I just thought it fit, you know, because that's what we want to do. We want to sing our songs of suicide so that, and how it impacted us, so that other people know, you know, we're here. And every single person who's agreed to be in the book is also giving their email addresses and phone numbers to be reached if somebody needs to reach out to them.
What an awesome conversation we just had with Carol Sanek. CarolSanek.com is where you can find her and all kinds of things about her. And I just encourage you to go there. I hope you heard and had some great takeaways from our conversation with Carol, that she had to deal with the reality that hit her heart of dealing with breast cancer, and that she had to deal with that in the context of being from the medical field herself. And how sometimes we play mental games with ourselves, or we, you know, have things that we have to be overcome in terms of our background, our context that we bring into things. And so that's what she had to deal with. She had that context of being a medical person herself and to fight through it and get through it. But guess, I just hope you heard that how she connected up with things that made a big difference for her. She sought out the resources in the medical field. She says, go to the doctor, take action, and don't mess around with this. And she sought out people who are experts in the medical field, the City of Hope folks that she had some connections with. I hope you heard that. And I hope you also heard that she sought out resources in a spiritual realm. She sought out an Episcopal priest to have a conversation with him about the things, and read books and so on about the connection between the physical health, mental health, and your theological understanding of cancer and so on. Why does God allow me to have cancer? Why does that happen? How to deal with that on emotional and mental, physical, spiritual, how it's all integrated together. Take that with you as well. And how she sought out and connected with smaller groups of people that she had healing, it was part of her healing process, and how, and a part of that process is how she was able to mentor, be helpful to others, you know, take away the poor me type of thing, and to serve other people and fight through it. You heard her talk about the grand bargain that she made, right? That's what I really want you to pick up on as a thing here today. She made a bargain with God. God, get me through this cancer. Get me through this. And I will serve people, be an advocate for people with cancer. And she did that in places like Costa Rica and throughout. And now in the advocacy work that she does right now, particularly in the area of people dealing with suicide. She had to deal with that in her own life and still does, and how it manifests itself in her children and other parts of her life. But she has chosen to take bold action and to deal with it by writing a book and connecting with other folks who can make a difference in this area, which is so vital. I mean, my goodness. If you've known anyone who's dealt with the tragedy of suicide as I have, you know it is crushing. And I'm just so impressed by this bargain that she made of, say, God, get me through the cancer and I will serve a greater good. And I just think that's an important thing. That's about keeping your promise, isn't it? That's what the Pathway to Promise podcast is all about understanding that we do have a promised life, a destiny for us, that we can bargain and all kinds of things about it with a power greater than ourselves. But ultimately, it is up to us to follow through and keep our promises. Keep our promises to ourselves. Keep our promise to our Creator. Keep our promise to our family and friends. And to follow through with the discipline that it takes. And I'm just looking forward to Carol's book when it comes out about understanding suicide Suicide Eulogy, that is her book, and I'm looking forward to hearing that and following up on that. Maybe we'll have her back on Pathway to Promise when her book comes out. And I just think it's going to be a great resource for people. And I know that this is an underserved area of life, is the area of the impact of suicide, because it's a part of this whole deal of depression and adversity and relationships that have gone south. And it's pervasive in our world right now, and we need to be a part of a solution. So we hope that the Pathway to Promise podcast can be part of a solution, or a part of your finding a way to navigate adversity in your life. We feel like we're a part of the antidote to adversity, and we can be a part of that in your life. It's going to bringing people on our podcast, people like Carol, who can be helpful to this. And we, in the future, will be bringing on people who can be particularly helpful in the areas of financial management and debt retirement, and how that integrates with your emotional and your physical life. We'll have other experts on in the area of weight loss and physical health. health as well. And people also will be having folks on the podcast who really delve deeper and deeper into the spiritual, emotional, mental well-being that we have. That's our purpose here, because we truly believe that God has a God-given promise for your life of peace and prosperity and purpose. But it doesn't just happen, you know. That promised life is there for us, but we got to do something about it. Follow a pathway. And we believe that pathway has to do with four major concepts of taking bold action, of connecting up with a power greater than ourselves, of being fueled by our loving relationships we have with people who care for us and we care for them, and then having a self-discipline in our life. We talk about that in the first five episodes of the Pathway to Promise podcast, which you can check out at our catalog of programs, of podcast at pathwaypromise.com. If you haven't been there yet, we invite you to go there and check out the site and see the resources that are there, and to check out the free gift that we have for you there, which is called How to Frame Your Day for Success. It's a guide. It's a short guide, just a few pages long, to help you understand how to begin and end your day successfully in just 4 minutes a day. It can be done. It can be done. So go pick up that resource there for you. It's been an incredible pleasure to be with you today here on the Pathway to Promise podcast. We just encourage you to share the good news to others about our podcast and how it can be helpful to people who have struggles in their life, who have dilemmas in their life, who deal with depression or divorce or suicide or cancer or any number of other things that they can deal with. And you need an encouraging word in their life. So if you like what you hear, please subscribe to the podcast in whatever platform you're listening to us today. We would love a rating, 5-star rating, if you will. And a review of a line or two would be just terrific. And of course, share with others in your network, both your personal network and your online network, social media, and so on. I bet you know folks who this podcast can be helpful to. So please share that word with them. It's been great to be with you today. My name is Brad Miller, Dr. Brad Miller. It is my pleasure and my privilege to serve you. And I just want to continue to encourage you to keep your promises, because there's power in a promise kept.
Thanks so much for taking the Pathway to Promise with Dr. Brad Miller. As a subscriber, you'll be a vital part of the Pathway to Promise community. Visit us on the web at pathwaypromise.com. Until next time, remember to stay on your Pathway to Promise.